700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, looks forward to Jesus coming into the world as light in a dark place. Connor is going to read now for us from Isaiah chapter 9, that very prophecy that speaks of the coming of the light of the world.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
We had a reading from the Old Testament where the prophets looked forward to the coming of Jesus. And now we'll have a reading from the New Testament, from the Gospels, where those who were eyewitnesses of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus recorded for us his life and death and resurrection and all that he accomplished. So what we're going to do is have Josh, our church intern, to read Matthew 1, 18 to 25 in English. And then I've asked some others to come up and read verses 21 to 23 in some different languages. So we have Robin, who's going to come up, I think, and read in Tamil for us, John Marcus in Kiswahili, Judy in Spanish, and Sheila in Portuguese. So please all come forward now. And let's listen to God's word, not just in English, but indeed in these different languages.
So it's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Matteo, capítulo 1, versículo 21. Dará a luz un hijo, y le pondrás por nombre Jesús, porque él salvará a su pueblo de sus pecados. Todo esto sucedió para que se cumpliera lo que el Señor había dicho por medio del profeta. La Virgen concebirá y dará a luz un hijo, y lo llamarán Emmanuel, que significa Dios con nosotros.
Mateo, capítulo 1. 21 a 23. Ela terá um menino e você porá nele o nome de Jesus, pois ele salvará o seu povo dos seus pecados deles. Tudo isso aconteceu para se cumprir o que o Senhor tinha dito por meio do profeta. A virgem ficará grávida e terá um filho, que receberá o nome de Emmanuel. Emmanuel quer dizer, Deus está conosco.
Mateio, 1 Adhigaram, Vasanangal 21 Todangi. அவள் ஒரு குமாரனை பெறுவாள், அவளுக்கு இயேசு என்று பெயரிடுவாயாக, ஏனெனில் அவர் தமது ஜனங்களின் பாவங்களை நீக்க அவர்களை ரட்சிப்பார் என்றான். தீர்க்கதரிசியின் மூலமாய் கர்த்தராலே உரைக்கப்பட்டது நிறைவேறும்படி இதெல்லாம் நடந்தது. அவள் இதோ ஒரு கன்னிகையை கர்ப்பவதியாகி ஒரு குமாரனை பெறுவாள், அவளுக்கு இம்மானுவேல் என்று பெயரிடுவார் என்று சொன்னான். இம்மானுவேல் என்பதற்கு தேவன் நம்மோடு இருக்கிறார் என்று அர்த்தம்.
மத்தாயோ சூரா குவான்சா குவான்சியா மஸ்தாரு 21 பக்க 23 பிபிலிய இனசேமா, நாயே அத்தசா மானா நாயே அத்தமுயிட்ட ஜினலாக்கே இயேசு மானா ஏ எண்டி அட்டக்கே ஒக்கோவா வாட்டு வாக்கே நதம்பி ஜாவோ. Hayo yote yamekuwa ili litimie neno lilonenwa na Bwana kwa ujumbe wa nabii akisema, tazama bikira atachukua mimba naye atazaa mwana nao watamuita jina lake Emmanuel, yani Mungu pamoja nasi.
We're going to look at this passage in Matthew's gospel in the New Testament that we read in our different languages this evening. And we're going to think about it for a short time and think a little bit about what the Christmas story and what the Christian message of the Bible is really all about. And before I do that, I just want to pray once more very quickly and just ask for God to speak to us as we look at the Bible together. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can come together and worship you. And Lord, as we look at your word now, we need your help. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes to see it. Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, that it would be applied to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I thought about what to speak on tonight, an international carol service, I began to think a little bit about Christmas. And I began to think that quite often Christmas can be confusing. Some of the names that we talk about and we think about at Christmas time in Northern Ireland can be quite confusing. And I began to think to myself, if I was an international person, if I was coming from a different country, and maybe I was learning English, English wasn't my first language, or maybe I didn't know the culture of Northern Ireland, you would be left scratching your head at some of the names that we use at Christmas time. And I know that I'm even left scratching my head, and I've lived here my whole life. What do some of these names mean? Where do they come from? And what are they about? So what I thought we'd do to begin with tonight is have a little quiz. I'm going to put some terms that we use quite often at Christmas up on the screen. I'm going to see, does anyone know what they are? Or even for brownie points even more, do you know why that might be confusing? Because what they are and what they mean, or what we say and what they mean, can be quite different. So the first one I'm going to put up is this. A Yule log. A Yule log. Does anyone know what a Yule log is? Just shout out, don't be shy. A big thing that you burn in the fireplace, a log. A special log, Yule log. Someone said you eat it. You eat it, okay, yes. So when you hear the term a Yule log quite often today, this is what we think of. You can go into Marks and Spencer's or Tesco's and you can buy a Yule log. It's kind of chocolatey with cream and sponge. But originally, Joanne is right, a Yule log was an actual log, a bit of wood. And back in the West and in Germany and places like that, before the people converted to Christianity, this word Yule was kind of like a festival that they did, and they got a big bit of wood, and they made it the center of their fire, and it became known as a Yule log. But over the years, we've done away with the wood, and we like our dessert, so it's become a dessert because it looks a little bit like a log. So a Yule log, it isn't actually a log nowadays, usually. It's a dessert. So if someone asks you to try a bit of Yule log, don't be worried. It's a dessert. Second one, and probably the most famous one, mince pies. Mince pies. What could be confusing about mince pies? Mince, the filling. That's right. When you hear the word mince, we often think about meat. You know, it's from a cow, mince, or I think it can be from other animals as well, but usually from a cow. You have it in spaghetti bolognese or these different things. It usually has meat in it. And yet if you're offered a mince pie, most of the time there is no meat. Why are they called mince pies if there are no meat in them? Now, I'm told that originally, a couple of hundred years ago, mince pies, when they first came on the scene at Christmas time, they used to be filled with meat. And they were made from meat, and they were made from spices. But over time, they began to replace the meat, and there was less meat and more spices, and fruit came on the scene. And over time, no one used mince in them anymore. But the name has stayed with us. So if you're offered a mince pie, and you bite into it, and you're a little confused, there's no meat usually in them. There's fruit and spices. So we have mince pie. And I began to think about a different one. What about a Christmas carol? A Christmas carol. Why might we be confused with the term Christmas carol? Something at Christmas time? Where do we usually hear the name carol? A girl's name, that's right. We sometimes maybe think, well, this is maybe a woman who loves Christmas time or something else. Carol is usually the name of a woman. But when we think of Christmas carols, you know, this is a carol service, and we come together to sing songs about Jesus. And you can often hear about people going caroling. They go out and they sing some of these songs that we've sung this evening about Jesus. Where did that name Christmas carol come from? Well, I had to look this up, but apparently a carol was originally a dance or a song that you did in a circle. But over time, apparently it comes from the French word carol. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But over time, this dance or these songs began to be used about Christian songs, and it became referenced to Christmas. So they became known as Christmas carol. So that's where that term comes from as well, Christmas carols. Carol is a girl's name, but at Christmas time, we sing these songs about Jesus, and they're called Christmas carols. What about this one? Boxing Day. Anyone know what Boxing Day is about? Sheila?
It used to be when the servants would open their presents on Boxing Day.
Yep, that's when the servants would open their presents on Boxing Day. But when you think about it a little bit, if you were just hearing for the first time that the day after Christmas is going to be Boxing Day, you might think to yourself that everyone has a bit of a fight. Maybe everyone's had enough of each other on Christmas Day. By the time it comes to Boxing Day, everyone's falling out and they're getting their gloves on, ready for a fight. And I'll not mention the Ashby game of Monopoly in 2012 on Boxing Day. We've never played Monopoly again. But you could think to yourself, Boxing Day. Where does that name come from? And Sheila is right. Now, there's different theories with it, but there was this idea that sometimes good employers back in when times were hard, at Christmas time, they would give a box of gifts to their employees the day after Christmas. Or rich people who had servants, of course, the servants would be serving them on Christmas Day. So on Boxing Day, they had the day off, and they were given a box, usually filled with maybe food that was left over and gifts. And they had almost their celebrations the day after, and it became known as Boxing Day. So it's nothing to do with boxing. It's just another day of celebration. Last one. Another one, name or term that quite often we hear at Christmas time that can confuse us. Noel. Noel. Why would Noel possibly confuse us? That's right, we have a Noel or a Noel with us tonight. Just like Carol, quite often Noel or Noel is used as a name. And it can be male and female in different cultures, but usually in Northern Ireland, it's seen as a man's name. And we have a Noel with us tonight. But quite often at Christmas time, you hear this word Noel. Noel. Some of the Christmas carols talk about Noel. So what is Noel about? Well, Noel is just the French word for Christmas. It's widely believed to come from the Latin word natalis, meaning birth. So it's the day that celebrates a birth. Jesus' birth. And that's why we have this term, Noel. So as I thought about that, when it comes to Christmas time, there's all these terms we use, and if we don't understand the meaning of them, we're going to get very confused. And I hope that solves some of the confusion around some of these words and names that we use at Christmas time. Christmas can be very confusing unless we know the meaning behind some of these names. And yet, as I thought about that, the greatest confusion about Christmas is when we think Christmas is about food, or Christmas is about presents, or Christmas is about parties, or Christmas is about songs. You see, when Christians celebrate Christmas, they look past all those things, as good as they are, and what do they see? They focus and think about and celebrate a special event that the Bible describes, the birth of a person, Jesus Christ. You see, we get the real meaning of Christmas when we understand the names that this person is given, when we understand why this person came to earth. And in the passage that we read earlier in Matthew's Gospel in the New Testament, verses 18 to 25, we see someone who was very confused on that first Christmas. This man's called Joseph. He's engaged to be married to a woman called Mary, and he finds out that Mary's going to have a baby before they're married, before they've been together. And he's very upset, and he wants to break off their engagement. And in Bible times, if you wanted to break off an engagement, you had to go through almost like a divorce process. And so Joseph thinks in his head, I have to do this. And he was in danger of missing the meaning of these things. He was confused. And what saves Joseph from his confusion was the meaning of these two names that he has given about this person who's going to come. And Joseph's confusion is taken away, and he doesn't miss the meaning of what God was doing. And as we today, in 2018, as we understand the meaning of these two names, we understand the true message of Christmas. And it's the most important news we could ever hear in our lives. It can change our lives completely when we truly understand Christmas, when we understand this person who has come, when we understand these two names that he has given. And Joseph, he has a dream, but it's not just any old dream, it's a dream from God. And in it, an angel has a message for him. An angel, a messenger from God, explains to Joseph, you can't divorce Mary. In Mary becoming pregnant, in Mary going to have a baby, something amazing is happening here. She hasn't been unfaithful to you, Joseph. She hasn't cheated on you. This baby has been made by the power of the Holy Spirit. This baby is different. God himself has done a miracle. This baby has been formed in Mary. And Matthew tells us as we read this gospel in the New Testament, that this shouldn't have surprised Joseph. He shouldn't have been confused. The Bible had given a prophecy or a prediction about this long, long ago. What is a prophecy? A prophecy was a message from God about something that hadn't happened yet, but would happen. And hundreds of years before Joseph and Mary, in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, same book we read of, this exact event had been predicted. Matthew tells us this baby being born, that first Christmas, is fulfilling that prophecy, that prediction that was given all those years before. And we read it together. Matthew 1, 22 to 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we have our first name. A name that when we understand the meaning of this name, our confusion is taken away. When we understand the meaning of this name, we understand what Christmas is all about, what Christianity is all about. This child who'd be born of a virgin In the way that the angel is telling Joseph that the child in Mary is being born, that one of the names of this child would be Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. God has come. God is present. God is with us. God is here with us. And when we think about that, it almost seems like this name is as confusing as Boxing Day or mince pies or Yule logs. We think they mean something, but they actually mean something different. Is that what's happening here with this name, Emmanuel? How can a baby have a name that means God with us? That in this baby being formed and being born, that God had come to be with us, that would make this baby God. But there's no confusion here. This name isn't like Boxing Day. This name isn't like mince pies. The meaning of that name, Emmanuel, is right. The meaning of this special child being born is right. In this child, we have Emmanuel. We have God with us. See, that's the real meaning of the Christmas story. God, who the Bible describes and who Christians believe as being one God, but in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Son left heaven and became a man. He didn't stop being God. He was still God the Son, but he became a man. He became a human being like us. And he was born as a baby to Mary and Joseph in a place where they kept animals in a town called Bethlehem all those years ago. And in him coming to earth, he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. God became one of us in this special baby who was born. In a few moments' time, we're going to sing our last hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And there's a verse in that hymn that says this. Oh, here we go. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. The Son of God becomes a man and lives with us. And the question is why? Why would God become a man? Why would God become like us? God is our creator. He made everything. He made us. He made this world. And he's created us to have a relationship, a friendship with him. And yet the Bible tells us that everything went wrong. We turned away from God. We rebelled against God. We did wrong. We did evil. And because of that, human beings are separated from God. We can't see God. We can't know God by ourselves. And yet God wanted us to know him. And if he wanted us to have that relationship with him again, God had to do something because we couldn't do it by ourselves. And so God the Son becomes one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. If we want to see God, if we want to know God, if we want God revealed to us, we see this child born all those years ago. That's the true meaning of Christmas, God with us. And if we don't get that meaning, then we're confused about Christmas. We don't understand Christmas. The Son of God became a human being to reveal God to us. And not only to reveal God to us, but to bring us back to God, to restore that relationship that the wrong things we've done has broken. And that leads us on to the meaning of the second name that we have here. It's given to Joseph by this angel in this dream. The second name that we have in Matthew 1, verse 21. As we think about that, and as I thought about that, you know, one of the most special things about becoming a parent that you get to do for a new baby is naming that baby. There's much discussion, sometimes there's disagreements, but you finally come up with a name. Mary and Joseph don't get to name their child. They don't get to name this Emmanuel, this child who is God, this child who is God with us. Joseph is told by the angel what this child's name will be, and he's told why. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This second name, Jesus. We've had Emmanuel, God with us, and now we have Jesus. This child will be called Jesus because the name Jesus means God saves. God the Son became a human being for a purpose, to show us God and to bring us to God. He came to rescue us, to save us. His name means God saves. This Emmanuel, this baby's born, he's born on a rescue mission. And what do we need saved from? Well, Matthew tells us, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. He came to rescue, to save people from sin. What is sin? Well, we've thought about it already. It's the wrong things we do. It's how we feel. It's how we mess up. It's how we displease God. Sin is everything that is wrong with this world. Sin is what separated us from God in the first place. And that's why we don't have a relationship, a friendship with God by ourselves. And the message of Christmas is that Jesus came to save us from our sins and to restore our friendship with God again. And how does Jesus save us from our sin? Well, Jesus, the God-man, was like us in every way, apart from one. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He perfectly pleased God. He lived a perfect life. And then in the plan of God, he was taken out and he was punished on a cross. And he hung on a cross and he died on a cross. And as he died on the cross, God punished Jesus for the wrong things that we have done. The evil things that we have done. Why? So that God could be just and a good judge and punish wrong, but so that also he could forgive us and so that we could be friends with God again. So we could be forgiven. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. And he's now in heaven with his Father. That was Jesus' rescue mission. That's why he's called Jesus. God saves. And that's the real meaning of Christmas. A baby who is born to be like us so that he could save us. Save us from our sins. And bring us back to God. And there's only one final thing about this name Jesus we need to think about. Who does he save? Who does he save? Matthew tells us in that verse, he saves his people. His people. God became a man. God lived a perfect life. God the Son died on the cross, taking the punishment for the wrong things that we have done, rose again to bring new life. And in that mission, he saves people from their sins. But in order to save you, in order to save me, we need to become one of his people. We need to come to know him. We need to stop trying to get to God by ourselves, trying to be good, trying to be religious, or just simply ignoring him and getting on with our life. We need to come and ask for his forgiveness. We need to trust in what that little baby, Emmanuel, God with us, growing up and then going and dying on a cross, his rescue mission. We need to trust in that. And we need to invite him into our lives, not only to be God with us, but God in us. See, that's what happens when you become a Christian. Your sins are forgiven, and God, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives within you and changes you. And you become a new person who leaves an old life behind and follows Jesus and knows Jesus. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Emmanuel. That's the message of Jesus. We need to become one of his people. We need to personally come and know him for ourselves. See, the Bible is very clear. Either Jesus pays for our sin or we do. And we can never pay for our own sin. God, who is perfect and good, must punish sin. And the Bible describes the punishment for sin as a place called hell. For after this life, God will punish sin, and people will be separated from God forever, and will face that punishment. And yet when you become one of Jesus' people, when you understand Christmas, when you become a Christian, when you trust in this rescue mission of Jesus and you invite him to be your Emmanuel, God with you, we're forgiven. Our sin is taken away. We know God. And when we die, Jesus takes us to be with him in heaven, to enjoy a friendship with God forever and ever, to be with God. That's what Christmas is all about. Don't be confused this Christmas. This is what the Christmas story is about. This is what the Christian faith is about. It's summed up in those two names, Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you love us so much, that you were willing to send your Son to become God with us. Lord, I thank you that he grew up, he lived a perfect life, and he went and he paid for our sins on that cross. And he rose again to defeat death, and to give those who trust in him new life. Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight who's maybe hearing this for the first time, or maybe even understanding it for the first time, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and bring them to you. Father, I just thank you so much for Emmanuel, God with us, for Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins. And as we approach Christmas, as we get distracted by all these other things, Lord, keep that at the center of our attention. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.